Maryland's news now on the only station that matters, WBAL.com.
They can meet the standards. If they can meet, you know, the qualifications that are involved here, there is no reason why they shouldn't have a chance. That's just a fundamental belief of mine, and I think it's a fundamental belief of the American people.
That was Defense Secretary Leon Panetta, who officially today lifted the ban on women in combat. The reality of this has been fodder for a lot of conversation today. Heather McDonald is a fellow at the Manhattan Institute, a conservative think tank, and she says the move is just plain wrong. And Heather joins us now. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Beth.
I have to read this line from the piece that you wrote. The downsides to such a policy are obvious. The only reason to pursue it is to placate feminism's insatiable and narcissistic drive for absolute official equality between the sexes. You didn't hold back.
Well, I'm sick of it. You know, I'm sick of women putting themselves first and feeling like they're victims if society makes any rational distinctions. I don't depend for my sense of ego on feeling like I need to get into the military, and I think that this is just flies in the face of the fact that there are some fundamental differences between men and women. I heard on MSNBC last night the big reason being put forward for this is that you don't advance as high up in the,
right,
in the Pentagon unless you have combat duty. Well, this is not how we treat the military. Is not about making sure that women can advance up a government promotion ladder. It's about military readiness, and I don't see how this helps.
Let's talk about your biggest fears.
Well, my biggest fears are we lower the physical standards. We already have double standards in all of the different forces for women, and this is going to just exacerbate it because there will now be pressure to get more and more women in, and so the double standards are going to become more sharp. I also think that there is, we are ignoring the fact that there is sexual attraction between men and women that is going to erode the sense of combat cohesiveness in a unit and destroy what is very powerful male bonding. Women talk about the sisterhood all the time, but they're not willing to admit that in male organizations as well, there's a camaraderie.
There's still a possibility, is there not, that there could be sex-segregated units?
Well, if that's the case, we will be hearing agitation against them because they will be seen as stigmatizing.
Let me ask you your concerns about sexual assault. I mean, right now we have women already over there and almost at the front lines. They might not be in combat, but they're right behind it. So wouldn't that issue have already come up?
And it has.
It has. So they're already dealing with it. Do you really think it'll be worse?
Yes, I do. If you have people in close quarters, you know, and it's going to be the men who are blamed. We have a high rate of pregnancies on submarines. What are we going to do with pregnant women fighting? You know, that's going to be a whole other problem that comes up. But
Can I ask you another question?
Sure, Mary.
Would you, if someone could prove that they absolutely are physically up to the challenge and they absolutely can meet the same standards as the man standing next to them in combat, would you be less concerned?
I would be less concerned, but I would still be concerned because, again, it ignores the issue of sex and destroying the male cohesion, just as we have, again, females like to feel that they're bonding. I think to introduce a co-ed unit, what then do we have if a woman is taken prisoner? Is there going to be special efforts made to try and rescue her? Because she faces a risk of rape that male prisoners do not. I just think that this is not about, we should be asking what is the best policy for military readiness. And I think that those few women at the margins may be out there, but we have to make policy at a large scale, and that inevitably we're naive if we think that with this step it's not going to lead to demands for proportional representation and watering down physical standards. That's what we've seen in the fire profession as well.
It's a fascinating conversation. Heather McDonald from the Manhattan Institute, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Mary Beth.